three, two, one. Welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversations. All right, we're back and we're going to be talking about vision once again. But before we start the next questions, Gerard has something to say.
Oh, already. Okay. Locked and loaded, baby. Okay, so in the previous episode, we talked about getting vision and the importance of vision. And just to clarify that, so in Revelations 20, from verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. So, like I said in the previous episode, the Lord is the author and finisher of your faith. And we can see that there is a book written for us. So literally, he is an author, like he wrote out your story. And this confirms it, Revelation 20. And we're going to have a little spot check done when we're up there. We're going to have an assessment done to give an account for what we've done in comparison to what the Lord has written for us. So that's really cool, knowing that the Lord has written our story already. And, you know, he's given us the ability to carry this thing out. Because, you know, why would he write this stuff out if we weren't going to be able to do it? He wants us to complete it. He wants us to pass with flying colors. And internally, in our hearts, we want to receive and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." So this serves as motivation for those who, you know, are without vision, with vision. It's motivation for everybody that we are going to give an account for what we have done here.
That reminds me of another verse that goes, so many will come to me saying, "Lord, Lord, we did all these things. We did all these things that we thought would have pleased you." But then Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So it goes, that goes right into our next question, which is, how do you discern whether or not your vision is from yourself or from God? So Jamison, do you have the answer to that?
Yeah, sure. So when it comes to with vision, right, and reflecting on whether or not it's my own vision, like, is this something I've just decided to do myself, or is this actually from God? There are two questions I like to ask myself, and I want to encourage you as well to ask those questions as well. And the two questions is, one, who does this glorify? And two, does this establish or does this build God's kingdom? So if you've got a vision that is to glorify yourself, like, for example, my vision is just to get rich, you know, drive nice cars, build a big house just for my own satisfaction. That is not God's vision. That is for your own satisfaction. That has nothing got to do with God. That's got nothing to do with God's plan for your life, for this earth. It's all self-absorbed. And two, is this going to build God's kingdom? Potentially, yeah, it can. But we're coming back to the first question. No, it's glorifying yourself only. If in terms of God, this is dedicated for your glory. Lord, I want to establish, you know, these things. I want to have this amount of money so that I can serve others. Different story. If it's for self-service, if it's for just satisfaction of your flesh, then you've got the wrong vision. You've got a vision that is not from God. So ask yourself those two questions. Who does it glorify? And is this building God's kingdom? That's where you can find out between your vision and God's vision.
Do you have anything to add, Guara?
Very similar to what Jamison was already saying. When God gives you a vision, it confirms with his word. Always. And God is always about people. So if the vision starts to be about yourself, be about, like what he was saying, getting rich in that, then it's not glorifying God anymore. Everything that we do glorifies God. So including the vision that he has for us, it glorifies him. So God will never contradict himself. He's true to his word. So yeah, when you start to question that, ask God, like, does this help the people around me? Does this glorify you, Lord? Is this what you, like, ask questions. Ask God questions. It's that simple. Yeah, because we have our own ways. Yeah, because the flesh wants to do its own thing. Like, we want to please the flesh, right? So it's, don't feel bad if you're thinking that. It's fine. Like, we've all been there. So just, yeah, ask God. And yeah, he will confirm with you through his word or through a brother or a sister. God will always confirm.
That's right.
So confirmation, man. So,
Yeah.
Seek it.
Yeah.
Look for confirmation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Cause like it's really nuanced, because that verse that I was talking about, depart from me, I never knew you. Mm. Like, these guys were prophesying in Jesus' name, casting out demons in his name. They did so many wonders in his name, but then they missed it still. So yeah, it's like, you need that confirmation. You need that. You really need to hear from God. Yeah, Jane.
Yeah, I was just going to say, far out. Seek godly counsel. People that know you, if applicable, who have trained you. And I can testify to that in my life, because I was... Also, one more thing. You also need the humility to say that I might be wrong. Mm-hmm. My plan might be wrong for my life. Mm-hmm. And God, like, if this is wrong, I'm ready to hear. I'm ready to hear it. Yeah. And that goes the same for seeking godly counsel. You got to be ready to hear, this isn't right. Mm-hmm. This isn't where you should be going. Mm-hmm. And so, because we can come to God with our minds set on our own plans. And even though we hear that it's wrong, we just go ahead with it because... like, we want what we want because it's just pride. And yeah, so for example, I was in uni studying to be a translator because I wanted to live in Japan. Yes, and this was the second time I went to uni, because the first time I've dropped out because I wasn't ready. Second time, I'm halfway through the year. And then, like, just like, I didn't mention anything to anyone, but two of our pastors were like, did you pray about going to uni for right now, for what you are studying right now? And I'm like, I didn't say anything to them. I didn't mention anything to them previously, but I was like, in my head at that moment, I was like, I think so. Like, I mean, it's what I want to do. But I had to get real with God and say, is this for me, Lord? Mm-hmm. And you can imagine how embarrassing it is, because second time going to uni and I have to drop out. But I was like, Lord, if I'm in the wrong, I don't want to be here. And so, yeah. And so I was in the wrong. And so I dropped out. And now I'm studying something completely different, but I have so much peace in my heart that I am right where I need to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that gives me so much confidence.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Sorry, I just want to add something. I didn't add. One of the crucial thing, one thing that you shouldn't do is don't make plans without God. Like, always consult to God first. I've learned the hard way too. So, yeah, when you have a plan, bring it up to God. Consult with him. Is this the right thing to do, Lord? Like, is this right? Is this where I'm supposed to be?
Yeah.
So yeah, don't ever make plans without God, man, because you'll go sideways.
Yeah.
So. And if you have, don't worry, no condemnation. Always time to repent.
Yeah.
As long as you're alive, there's time to repent.
Yes.
So do it now.
Yeah. Yeah, submit your plans to God.
Yeah.
I was talking with someone yesterday. He had plans. And I was just asking him, the same question that the pastors asked you, I'm like, did you pray about it? What did God say? And then he's like, ah. And then I'm like, yeah. Like, think about, so he had something that's very dear to him. He's attached to it. and his plan was to hold it and keep it and go that direction. And I'm like, well, what did God say? And he already knew. He already knew that God was like, no. But he was ignoring. So there is that emotional barrier that you need to overcome, that attachment, that idolatry that you have to overcome. Like, think about Abraham. Abraham is super old, and his wife is super old, and they can't naturally have babies. And then they jumped the gun, and Abraham had a baby with someone else instead of his wife, and then finally he got the promised one. So like it was a process to finally get that promised son. And the vision was he'd be the father of many nations. So just think about how dear his son would have been. Finally Isaac is here. Finally. And then what does God do? He says, sacrifice him. Like, oh man. So sometimes there are things that are your vision. Sometimes there are things that God promised to give you, and it's your passion and everything lines up. But again, you still have to consult God, because anything that's above God becomes an idol. And I know for me, I've put my passion, I've put my skills, my talent, my destiny above my relationship with God. And I put it in place of relationship with God. And I would say to myself, I'm doing good because I'm progressing in the vision that God gave me. But I'm not talking with God. And then I'll get to that verse I was talking about at the start, how depart from me, I never knew you. Where I've done all the right things. I'm doing all the things that a Christian should do, but depart from me, I never knew you. So it's a scary place. So it's really important to consult God at every step of the way. Like, he's Lord. He's not an accessory. He's not in the back pocket. He is Lord. And he is everything. He's God. Yeah, Gerard.
Amen. So Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding. So what your flesh wants. I want to take a different spin. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So if Christ is living in you, your visions are intertwined. And now if you're surrendered to him truly, your vision becomes his vision too.
That's right.
Because another scripture I wanted to bring up is in Matthew. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're struggling, right? What does Pastor Paul say? If you sweat it, forget it. If you sweat
finally
it, forget it.
Yeah,
we got it. We finally understand it. Because we've been through the hardships and the heartaches. We learned the hard way. We don't want the listeners learning the hard way if we've already got the answer. One thing Pastor Paul told me when I was a young Christian as well, he's like, Gerard, I've learned all this stuff from reading books. And I've learned all these principles. Why would I tell you to read those books when I can just tell you? And he just told me all these different principles. So why would I let you learn the hard way if I can warn you beforehand? So if you sweat it, forget it. Don't worry about it. Okay. So you need to get alone with the Savior again. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if it feels burdened, then if you feel burdened, if you feel like you're running out of energy all the time, like it's, you got to really question, like, God, are you sure about this? Right? And then a lot of the time, like when the pastors approached Shane, like, did you pray about it? A lot of the time, sometimes even in your God-given destiny, you get tired. And that's because, like Jello said, you leave the Lord out of the picture. You just leave him in the back pocket. He's not Lord. He's not Lord. So you need to have him as Lord. And in terms of discerning whether your vision is yours or God's, like I said, if you truly are surrendered to God, you would always go to him first and you would understand that your vision is his vision. His vision is your vision. Moses, God gave him the promised land and, God says, go there, but I won't be there. And then Moses says to him, Lord, if your presence doesn't follow us, we don't want to go. I don't want to go there.
That's good.
Right? So you need to ask the Lord first. You need to go to him first. I've missed it.
We've all missed it, you know. Everyone in the room, I'm sure people listening have missed it as well. But just because we miss it doesn't mean God, you know, gives us a backhand and says, rack off. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It doesn't tell you to go away. If you have that humility and repentant heart, like Chayne was saying, and say, God, I missed it. I'm so sorry. I want to have you involved in this. If this is not from you, then I don't want it. If we're not going forward together and it's just me, I don't want to go forward. I want to do this with you. I want to do this for you. Mm. And I want to do this with your company. Yeah, I don't want to move forward if it's not without you. We have to be in that place of surrender where, you know, what's that famous saying? If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all.
Yeah.
So he needs to be Lord of all, like your finances, your dreams, your visions. Mm. Like the Jello's mate, he had one thing in mind, but at the end, it was really just idolatry, right? And what Jamison was saying, you have to assess whether God is getting the glory in the Gospels, because Jesus is living in us according to Galatians 2:20. In the Gospels, Jesus would always point to the Father. So if the Father isn't getting glorified, you got a question like, is this really God's vision for my life? Mm. Because ultimately, one great example is Jamison. He was working at a gym at one point, and he displayed the resilience and tenacity of God in such a way that people recognized it, right? And at the end of the day, God got glory, amen, right? If God is not getting the glory and you are, and you're getting puffed up and you're getting, you know, full of deceit, you know, maybe that's not from God, mm. You know, maybe, right? So you always want to make sure that God is getting the glory. You need to surrender your plans. Submit your ways to the Lord is what Proverbs says.
Yeah.
Submit them. Submit. I think we all have an understanding of what submit looks like. Surrender. Mm. Laying things at the altar. Mm. At the feet of Jesus. It might even be a prized possession like Isaac for Abraham, a promised son. We have to lay those things even at the altar. We have to be ready to sacrifice them. And it's hard work, man. It's sometimes it gets like, man, like this is tough, but Lord, if you said so, I'll go.
Yeah.
Like battling giants, dude, in the Old Testament and stuff, like conquering cities, like, man, that sounds like hard work, to be honest. You know, I don't do MMA or anything. So it's like, bro, like I'm going in, like just swinging and doing whatever. But if God said so, I'm going to win.
Yeah.
If God says so, then we're going to go forward. Amen. So, yeah, you need to have the counsel of the Lord always, 100% of the time, 24/7,
yeah,
before you move forward with any vision.
Yeah.
Write down your vision, pray about it.
Yeah.
And then if you have peace, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Keith.
Praise God. I think about what Jesus did. So when Jesus spent time with the Father, he only said what the Father said. He only did what the Father did, and he only went where the Father told him to go. And that itself gave him vision.
Yeah.
So if we want to be in the right place at the right time, we need to obviously build our relationship and to identify clearly his voice. And sometimes that's the process. We don't always get it right. No, I haven't. Who has? We're not perfect. Our natural human self, our flesh, our mind, our will, our emotions, we like to be in control. And we like to organize our life in our own strength. We like to project in our imagination. And that's something that God has given us. But when we give our life to God, he opens that up. So that tool that was meant for destruction, like, he always turns it around so that mind, that imagination we have can be used to project his purpose, his glory. And how I see it is, for me, I know there's plenty of things I can do by myself. And I still give glory to God because he's given me revelation. But usually the things he gives me with visions is something that goes so far more deeper than myself and what I could possibly imagine doing. It doesn't involve just being self-centered, because we heard Jamison and the others say, we all want to, like, you hear this saying, and it's big in America, I think, you know, big American dream with the big cars, a big house and a big family. You know, God it gives us, we have our own desires in our heart that we want to achieve, but God does not forget about that stuff. Mm. In fact, he says he knows what we need before we ask. Mm-hmm. So why are we focusing in what appears to be little things in God's eyes? The car, the holidays, the perfect, not perfect partner, but the partner who loves God, all these things. He will add on to it because you're seeking him already. But what he wants us to encourage us in and wants us to move towards is something much more bigger than ourselves, where it actually involves connecting with other people. And I know for myself, and I know a few people can relate here, that when you go through high school, when I went through high school, I was shy as. I was so shy. How could I possibly connect with people? If God gave me a vision, a big vision then, because I wasn't really connected with God then, but if he did, I would have to get out of my shell and learn how to connect with people, because God involves other people to help you achieve your destination. Mm. A perfect example of that is, without going too far into it, when I recorded an album, I had to let go and trust the engineer to produce the ear, like to have the ear for the particular sound. I was, my brother and I were not in control 100% anymore. We had to let go and let them identify and trust God in them. And the other thing, through good and bad, when life seems to be going well and good, sometimes we can forget about God. And sometimes we think we're dependent on ourselves. But a big reminder to us and to myself and to everybody listening is that it's okay to feel sometimes that I don't have it all together, because no one does. In fact, God holds the whole world together and he can hold us together, but we need to trust him, what he's given us. So he wants to do something mightily in our lives all the time, and we have to be fully dependable on God. And I heard Gerard saying one time, and it spoke to me again, it just reaffirms me, like, how many times in life are we not dependable on God and we make a good decision? Sometimes that good decision can get us where we need to go, but we forget to honor God, we forget to glorify God, we forget the big picture. So I want to make sure that I involve God in everything that I do. There's a way that appears right to man, but it can also lead to destruction and death. And that's in the word, that's biblical. That's not our words, but, you know, God's word. And what that means to me is that even though I got a vision, I can see, it may be a decision that has to be made. And it's like, I don't even consider God or nothing, but I can see it. But I don't consult with God, even though it appears good and appears right. It may not be, what appears good may not necessarily mean it's God's best. So it's just having that relationship and really trusting and being dependent on him. So there's been many times even in the car, I'll be driving, and the quickest way to get there is going the right lane to turn right, and then he said to go straight, and it was all traffic, you know, in a straight lane. But sometimes it's about him navigating you to avoid where he doesn't want you to go. And sometimes we just have to be open about that, to go where we're sent. We can have a dream and desire to go to another country, but if God's not involved in it, then, you know, we have to make, what I'm saying is, we have to make sure that where he sends us, there's provision and there's the purpose and there's protection. So it's all relationship and building that trust.
Like the verse that I want to bring up is Colossians 3:15. So what we're talking about with, if you have peace, be led by peace, this is this verse. So Colossians 3:15 in the Amplified is, "And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds, in that peaceful state, to which, as members of Christ, one body, you are called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always." So the peace is acting as an umpire. So imagine those guys at soccer, the ones that do those things.
That's AFL, bro.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Oh, freak. Well, shows what I know about sports. Umpire. So, yeah, so peace is your indicator. And a story I have of that is, I went to a place where I didn't know where I was at, and I had no internet, and I didn't know how to get home. So I was like, okay, Lord, you got to help me. Because yeah, I have no internet, not even SOS. And then I just kept driving and I had peace. All of a, and then finally I reach an intersection and I'm like, I have no idea. So I take a right and immediately I feel sick. I'm like, oh, okay. I take a U-turn and then I feel peace immediately. And then I keep going. And then that's when I realized like, oh, okay, now it looks familiar. Everything looks familiar. I went the right way. So in that situation, like God was really communicating with me with peace, with that feeling of peace that surpasses all understanding. And then a situation ages ago in year 12, I was wanting to pursue medicine. So I did all the science subjects in school because I was wanting to pursue medicine and just that route. And I was uneasy with that. So I knew that that's what my parents wanted. I knew it sounds good. It's for other people. You know, it's not for me. But then Pastor Paul, one sermon, he looks at me. He does one of those things where...
the pause ones? Yeah.
The pause. He looks into my very soul. And then he tells me, you need to do what you love. And immediately I felt the peace of like of God that surpasses all understanding. And this is at the end of year 12. And anyone that's finishing high school and making the decision to go to college or to go to uni or whatever job, if it's a bit of a stressful time. But the peace of God just flooded me because I just knew where to go. And there's that sense of knowing because you know. Like this sense of, if I don't do this, I know I'm disobeying God. And then to follow on what Keith said, I actually heard this from Pastor Rod first. So he said, when you get a vision, you know it's from God when it's impossible. Because God doesn't want you independent of Him. He wants you to have something that's impossible so that every step of the way you rely on Him. So if He gives you something that's like, I can definitely do that, and you get excited because you can definitely do that, scrap that. It's not Him. Because, yeah, why would God give you something that's like, why would God give you a life goal that's nothing, that's easy, that anyone can do? And then when you finally achieve it, you'll probably say, look what I did. Look what I did, everybody. I'm so good. But if you achieve what He's given you to do, then at that point, you're like, all glory goes to Him. And you won't say that like in a Christian, not really kind of way, like in a real way, like all glory goes to Him, because you know, it was actually impossible.
Yeah.
So we'll finish that episode there. We've run out of time again. So does anyone have anything to say before we finish and pray?
Yeah, I wanted to share scripture, and Gerard already briefly shared it about before from James, but I wanted to read it out so you guys know what Gerard was referring to. So it says in James chapter 4 from verse 13, it says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year, we'll do business there and make a profit. So this example here is people who have come up with what they think is their best idea, and they want to execute it. They've come up with this plan and they're like, all right, let's go for it. And then from verse 14 it says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. All right. And from verse 15 it says, what you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. So like what all these guys were saying, with following a plan, with executing a plan, you need to absolutely have God first, or else you're just doing your own pretentious thing. If anything, it says it's actually evil. Like with Jello, he said he had this plan to do medicine, but he knew, but God knew that's not the plan that He had for him. If he were to go through that, then Jello would have been in disobedience. But that's not the case for what we want for you guys. We want you guys to be right in the center of God's plan. And the only way you're going to do that is if you come to Him daily, keep checking your heart and keep checking your stance in relationship with God every day.
Yes.
Because you don't want to make the wrong decision.
Yeah.
You want to be in the right decision through God's eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good verse to come back to. Yeah, you're probably sitting on the most brilliant idea in the world right now, but come to God first.
Mm.
You want to be in His plan, not your own.
Yeah. Something I want to add is something that Pastor Dean taught me, just to re-emphasize the importance of checking in with God every day, is if a plane isn't calibrated all the time, you'll end up in a completely different area. Mm. So like you always have to be calibrated. Otherwise, just that one degree of error, you end up in a completely different direction than where you're supposed to be. Yeah. And you'll find yourself like, how did I end up here?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Definitely. Like with the 1 degree error as well. 1 degree is not big at all.
Yeah.
But in the end, it'll cost you.
Yeah.
So always have the end in mind, and you know who's at the end.
Yeah.
You know, the first, the last, the beginning and the end, you need to have Him in mind. So
yeah,
that is all, my friend.
Yeah. Sin, the meaning of sin is missing the mark.
Yes.
So yeah, don't want to be in sin. Does anyone have anything final to say? Nope. All right. So I'm thinking Jameson should pray.
Sure. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Lord God, we thank you for everyone that is listening to this podcast. Lord, I pray for anyone who is in a place where they're trying to discern between their own vision and yours. Lord, I pray for peace. I pray for clarity. I pray for godly counsel and wisdom to surround them, Lord God, that they can come to a place of peace and direction. Lord, for anyone that is in that position, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that by the end of this year, Lord God, I pray that they come to a conclusion in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are with them every step of the way, Lord God, and that you are the author and finisher of their faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I want to keep praying.
Yeah?
I feel like we need to keep praying a little bit. Okay. Thank you, Father. Father God, I pray for those people who are feel like they have a lack of vision. They feel like they have no direction. They don't have a purpose. They don't know what to work towards. They feel like their lives are going around in a circle. Father, I lift those people up to you now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for a refreshing over them, a newness of life to cover them completely and to fill them to the brim in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that your purpose is what will ultimately happen for them in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for those who are seeking your vision for their life. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you answer them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all the lies of the enemy and all the hindrances in between, we take authority over that now. We shut those assignments down in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for a free move of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask that you lead these friends of ours into the truth. For this is what you do, Holy Spirit, and we're so glad to partner with you, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for fresh revelation. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys for listening, and see you next week.
You.
Bye.
See you.
Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Now Conversations. We hope you got something out of it and want to stay connected. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Harvest Now Church to make sure you don't miss out on any future content. You can also message us at contact@harvestnowchurch.com to suggest a topic to talk about or to ask us a question. Until next time, stay blessed and see you in the next podcast.